favorite Let's Players tried to Let's Play the game. Unfortunately, that kind of game isn't very fun to watch other people play.
Is it like, is it like super long?
His channel's not up anymore. He had to open up a new one. But I remember it being a lot of parts.
We're on the air, by the way. Welcome to Technical Web Radio. We're doing a real cash this week. Yeah, I just kind of dumped this on mid-sentence. And I think that's the way to go this week. Because we're doing our prep discussion. It's like, this is what we should be talking about on the air. So we're talking about Nox. This game Nox, N-O-X, was a PC game they just recently added to the GOG.com catalog. So we're going over it. So this guy did a Let's Play about it, apparently.
Yeah, his channel now is Mega Ultra J-Man. But back in the day when he just used to be Ultra J-Man, he did a Let's Play of it. And I think he did in conjunction with a few other people, because you can play through the game at different classes. And he was, like, picking the soldier class or, like, the melee class. Other people were picking, like, the thief and mage class or some shit like that. And it was very boring to watch, unfortunately. But the game itself did look like fun to play. It just wasn't too interesting for a Let's Play, which is a shame, because I actually really like that guy, Let's Plays.
I would actually, I would be interested in seeing that, because my experience with the game was in the late 90s, whenever the game came out, I want to say, like, I remember it being, like, 98, 99, but it says here it was 2000. They had the game at GameStop back when GameStop used to carry those great big PC game boxes, and it wasn't selling very well, so it dropped to $5.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, and the box art for that game, I mean, I guess it's a little iffy when I see it now on a JPEG, but I remember thinking that it looked like an awesome game. And I really wanted it, but I was a kid, and my pockets were empty. So I came, like, the next week to buy it, and then, like, it was gone forever. and then shortly thereafter, GameStop stopped carrying those big, awesome packages. So I'm kind of doped up to buy it a little bit, even though
GameStop, big suck.
I'm telling you, once upon a time, man, it used to be a nice place. It was never, you know... It was never a good store. They were always kind of shitty. Excuse me. I always remember the people behind the counter being jerks, but I really enjoyed the local one. It used to have wall-to-wall PC games, and in the center was all the console stuff, let's say, on the shelves. So I would just trace the walls from the ceiling to the floor for those great big, you know, boxes that used to carry PC games before they shrank down to the little DVD clones cases that they have now. And that was awesome, man. Those were the days.
Yeah, nowadays I only really go to GameStop if they have, like, a really neat special edition of a game you can't find elsewhere. So I'm just like, I guess, go to GameStop. And sometimes, you know, in a rare event, they'll have a better deal than something than on the internet, like on Amazon.
Well, I got it. The very last time I went into GameStop, I bought Metroid Fusion. It's 2 in the morning. I'm having a brain fart. I bought the first
game.
Yeah, it is, and I got it for $4. And it's in good shape, so the box and everything. I mean, it's
a great price.
But yeah, it's good. It's not too bad. So my final GameStop experience wasn't a horrifying one. But I just hear too many awful things, and I have had some bad experiences there, so I try and stay away from them.
Do you want to hear one of my GameStop horror stories?
Yes, I do.
Well, there was this one game in particular that at the time I was trying to look for, you know, and it's one of those really rare Japanese RPGs. It was called Art Sonoko 2. But basically, I finally find it at this one GameStop. And I was like, finally, I've been looking for this game. You know, it was too expensive online, and, you know, GameStop had a semi-decent price for it. And I finally find one that has it. You know, I'm really excited. I get the game. You know, going back home, I take a look at the disc. It turns out, I didn't get the game.
Was there anything in it? Did they give you something else?
The game's soundtrack.
I love it.
Because, yeah, I got the game used. And apparently, that GameStop got duped. The guy, whoever, the clerk or whatever, who was buying the game from the kid used, or whatever, didn't notice that the kid probably kept the game for himself and just gave him the packaging and the soundtrack. Because when I went back, it said, hey, this isn't the freaking game. I want my game, not the soundtrack. They looked around, they couldn't find the actual game disc. They only had the soundtrack.
Will they refund your money?
Oh, yeah, they refunded me. And what was hilarious was I had actually bought some other games. And the guy did the math wrong. So he ended up, I forget the exact mathematics, but I just remember that they ended up giving me money. Like, they ended up giving me more money than what they should have. So I was like, sweet.
I tried to buy a Game Boy Advance SP at a GameStop once, and one of the buttons didn't work very well, so I returned it. When I returned to that, they were like, where's the charger? And they didn't give me one. Didn't give me one. They were like, oh, then they took it back. Not a horrifying experience, but...
I remember back in high school, this one kid had a Game Boy Advance SP. And he, I think he got another one. He got another Game Boy. And he was like, oh, I really like that manga that you have. So if you give me a few of the volumes of it, I'll give you the Game Boy SP. And since I'd read them cover to cover a bunch of times already at the time, I was like, oh, cool, I don't mind. I've read these a bunch of times already. I'll just give it to him so I can get the Game Boy.
Right.
L button didn't work properly.
That was exactly the one that didn't work for me. It's them shoulder buttons. You got to be careful about that shit.
Them shoulder buttons really suck. Now, luckily, the game I was playing at the time, because I already had a Game Boy Advance for the SP, was Final Fantasy. So, didn't really need the L button that much. It wasn't completely necessary. But at the same time, it stuck a lot, and it was very moody depending on, you know, what you were doing. Sometimes it just felt like working. Sometimes it didn't. It was a pain.
Yeah, that sucks. That's like minimum functionality, you know what I mean?
Yeah, man, it really sucks.
Alright, so something that's on my agenda to talk about, which I forgot to bring up before when I was doing the bulleted list, telling you what's going on. There's a game that I got courtesy of Gamersgate.com. I got a game called Sengoku, S-E-N-G-O-K-U, and it provided me with a review copy before the game came out, and the game is set to come out today. Today's the 13th, so I guess it's coming out today. And I've had it for like a week now. Pretty good game, y'all. When it comes to Paradox, a grand strategy always seems to come up, and I always get sort of a blasé response from the listeners. But what am I hearing now? So.
I don't know.
Hold on a second. I'm hearing, like, I think I opened a website that's like, playing sound effects in my ears, and that's just pissing me off. Oh, it started raining in Minecraft. That's why.
Oh, okay.
Shintai and I both have Minecraft open.
Yes, we're both playing in the same server as we're talking right now.
Yeah, while we're doing the show, and it just started raining in Minecraft land.
I had the sound off, so I didn't notice.
Yeah, I'm going to have to fix that real quick. Hold on one second.
Mod powers activate!
Okay, there we go. Right, so Sengoku. Pretty good game. It's like grand strategy, but in ancient Japan. Samurais and clan wars and stuff. So, pretty cool. The way these games always go is like the presentation is just immaculate. Absolutely amazing music. The graphics... are pretty, it's essentially just a board game, but they somehow still managed to make it look really good, which is kind of cool. Learning curve is always an issue with these types of games, but this was not so bad. they kind of had enough hints to guide me, so I didn't have to do like an irritating tutorial, because I hate that stuff. Come on, I don't want to play your stupid tutorial level.
I'm playing my game.
Yeah, I kind of liked that I could like arrange marriages and stuff for my clan leader and that sort of stuff. It was pretty cool. Anyway, that comes out today, so you guys can pick up a demo from Gamersgate.com. I really enjoyed it. I will be playing it more. I want to say look forward to a review of that game, but that might not happen because I'm lazy.
Well, here comes where my otaku knowledge comes to play, but Sengoku, what that actually means is it's one of the eras in Japan. The Sengoku era was like this time of a lot of war, and actually one of the most important battles of Japanese history, the Battle of Sekigahara, happened during the Sengoku era. So that's a little bit of knowledge to throw at you.
I want to pop it open, because when you start the game, there's like four different wars that happened at that time you can pick from. The Paradox is always like, it's like really important to them. It's like historically accurate. It has to be like, if you're playing it in a Paradox game, that has to be the way it happened in real life. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I bet that's in there. But I'm too lazy, and we're done with that now.
Yeah, the Battle of Sekigahara was basically a battle between Ieyasu Tokugawa and Mitsunari Ishida, who were basically the grand generals. And it was basically the two halves of Japan that were fighting each other, east and west. So basically it was for like dominance. And
you should get that demo. You might actually really like that.
I may like it. Yeah, I'll give it a shot.
I know you're not much of like a grand strategy guy, you know, because it is kind of board gamey, but it might be right up your alley.
I'll give it a shot. I don't see why not.
So you were saying, go ahead, I mean to interrupt you.
Oh, no, my boring history lecture. that's just where Sengoku comes from. It's just one of the eras in Japan, and It's mostly just the Battle of Sekigahara that everyone remembers. This was a really important battle. And, yeah, that's it.
So did you study that in college? How did you figure out about all that stuff?
From a game.
Word. Word. My animes! I'm such
it's just
a dick.
Like one of my Japanese anime.
Well, that's awesome, dude. Thanks for shedding the light on it because I did I did enjoy that game, and I will probably play it beyond my reviewing duties. I'm gonna play it more and talk about it a little bit more once I find out more, because this is like I put like maybe an hour or 2 hours into it, and that's not fulfilling when you're committed to reviewing a game. That's not, you know, that's basically first impression tops.
Wait, what a way to make gaming sound unfun. Reviewing duties.
Well, here's the thing, though. If a company grants you a free copy of a game, that's totally different from going and buying a game. You have an obligation at that point to play the game enough to the point where you know what you're talking about. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So that's like... I've talked about this with Dalimar before. He's really leery about... accepting review copies, because he doesn't want to get roped into having to review an absolutely terrible game. Do you know what I mean? Because that can happen really easy, especially when you talk about like taking random games from indie developers. Because like I at one point got a review copy of the Bridge Construction Set. That review's not coming anytime soon. Sorry, guys.
It actually kind of reminds me of something that the guy from Penny Arcade said, where at the time when Assassin's Creed first came out, they'd gotten some kind of mixed reviews at the time. And a lot of the reviewers like saying like, oh, it's really repetitive, it's really, you know, this and that. And the guy from Penny Arcade, he was playing the game at the time, and he said like he didn't understand what the complaints were because he was really enjoying it. And then he said that, maybe I should try and play the game faster and see if I can, you know, get to the ending and see if then I'll see what everyone's complaining about. And then he said when he tried to put himself in the mindset of just just, you know, rush through it and just try to beat the games. Instead, he started enjoying it less and less. And then he said, bam, it suddenly hit him. He had just put himself in the same position as what a bunch of other reviewers do. And he said that at that point, the game wasn't no longer about enjoying the game itself, but rather, I got to get through it so I can then make this review and then jump into this other game that I have in my backlog that I'm supposed to talk about.
You're talking about the reason that I like to hear just dudes on YouTube who buy games and talk about them, rather than, like, magazines.
Yeah.
Because I know exactly what you're talking about. I can't stand that crap.
I haven't read a magazine or, like, even gone onto, like, one of these mainstream gaming sites for I don't know how long, because I just do not trust their opinion. Neither do I care.
You know what really sucks? Since it's snowing in Minecraft world, that dong we drew in the snow in your roof is going to disappear. All right. For those of you listening, we're both playing in the same server. It's my single player map, which I've turned into a private multiplayer server. Shintai has a nice big castle, and it's in a winter biome, because the map is really old and it somehow randomly generated that to be a snowy area. So the roof of his castle is covered in snow, and we went up there and I was like, you know what? I'm going to take my shovel and I'm going to draw a dong in the snow in your roof. And sure enough, and that was like a couple hours ago. So now I have to go back there and see the status.
The status of the dong.
Of the snowy roof dong.
Has it stayed hard through these weather times or has it wilted?
You know, I don't know, but the new pine forest that's in front of Castle Cox looks really nice. I think I
might check that out.
I might have to keep that there. It looks really good. It looks better than I expected it to look.
I think snow only really looks good when it's on like a mountain or on like trees and stuff. I think it looks really cool then, but otherwise it can just be really annoying to kind of get in the way.
Yeah, I hate it that they implemented the snow retroactively into this map. Because there was no snow when this map was made. When this map was made at that time, when you first generated your map, you either got an all-snow map or an all-grass map. And then as they added the snowy effects, it kind of...
Rawr.
Yeah. I'm not exactly sure how it happened, but it's snowing in some areas and it's raining in other areas. And when it snows, it puts snow all over everything and it never goes away. Because in real life, snow melts. It should melt at some point, right?
Yeah, but I don't know. I guess they didn't want it to melt so people can.
This is Minecraft world. That's what you get for being able to, in exchange for being able to lift hundreds of thousands of pounds of cobblestone.
You have to deal with snow.
Yeah, it's gone, dude. There's just like a couple of squares where there's no snow. And the snow blocks that I put to look like the stuff coming out of the end, those are still there. But it just looks like random snow blocks now.
So there's no context.
No context. This is intolerable.
Lame.
And in the middle of it all, there's lava, which is being rained on. We were talking about video games, weren't we? Wasn't I talking about a video game and then I got sidetracked when the rain started?
I remember something about Metroid Fusion.
Right. Yeah, that was when we were talking about, we were still talking about GameStop. Yeah, Metroid Fusion was the last GameStop purchase I made. And I only played it a couple of times because I don't have a GameCube memory card.
It pisses me off because that and Zero Mission were like the last two really good 2D Metroids that we ever got. And after that, they just stuck with like the 3D ones and they came out with that Metroid Hunters on the DS, which I did not like.
Play Mini Metroid, dude. Play that. Have you played that yet?
No, I haven't.
It's, I know you, we talked about this before and you got the impression that it was like a chibi game and you had a negative reaction to it, it's not a chibi game, dude. It's a legit Metroid game. It's just that the sprite for Metroid is really small. And it's
I'll give it a shot.
It's called Matrix. It's a legit Metroid game, and I had a lot of fun with it. My only problem with it is that it is not with that game. It's just with Metroid in general. I tend to get lost and get frustrated really easily with those games.
I only really the only Metroid I ever really disliked, the 2D ones, was actually the original. I just
really
don't think that. On the NES, I don't like that game.
I wouldn't have expected that from you. Wouldn't have expected you to be a homo. Oh, what's that? You're stunned? You're stunned? Because I'm right.
No, I think Super Metroid on the Super Nintendo is way better. Just, it takes a dump on the original. In every respect.
The last Metroid is in captivity. You like that? You like how I fucked up and still kept going with it?
The last Metroid is in captivity.
Thanks.
The galaxy is at peace.
All right. I want you to open up this YouTube video and take a look at it. This is the trailer for the Minitroid game. It's a tech demo, but it's fully playable. This was made in Construct. This was actually started. Construct is that like the game maker type thing. It's a free game construction development kit thing. Minitroid was a project that was started as like, oh, let me make a game so I can figure out how to use Construct. They kind of ballooned it to this big project.
Oh wow, this actually does look pretty good.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of like, yeah, it feels like a kind of a combination between the original Metroid and Super Metroid, actually.
Yeah, I'll keep the link, those of you who are listening, so you guys can check it out. If you look at the description, go to the YouTube video and look at the description, and the game is there in the description, and you can play it. It's a free game. It's not, you know, there's no, pay for the full version or whatever, but I felt that this one actually had... When you play fan games, there's a certain kind of cheapness that you expect. You expect like a less than genuine kind of feel, you know? Like if you play like a Mega Man fan game, obviously it's going to be really cheap. I didn't get that feeling here.
That looks really legit.
Yeah, it felt like they kind of understood what to do with like the atmosphere and stuff. And not every room had to be just filled with, you know, stuff trying to murder you. Okay, so that's Minitroid.
Yeah, as a really rabid fan of Metroid, I think I'm going to definitely give that a shot. It looks like a lot of fun. I haven't played a really good 2D Metroid in a while now, so yeah, I'd definitely check that out.
Do you have a gamepad?
Yes.
For your PC? You might want to use a gamepad with, like, Joy to Key. You know, do you have that program?
No, I don't.
Oh, I'll slide you a link. Do you know what it is?
Yeah, I think it's so that you can make it so games that don't have that program, not the program, but like that don't have innate joypad configuration can allow you to do it.
Yeah, that's essentially the implementation. What it does is simply makes it so that the buttons on your joypad press specific keyboard keys. That's all it does. And that way, if you have a game like Minitroid, which has kind of a little bit confusing or not very natural feeling keyboard controls, you can just set your gamepad up to play with it.
Cool.
Put the link. Yeah, I felt that the keyboard controls for Minitroid, that was the one thing that was holding it back. So I ended up using this with my gamepad so I could play it.
All right, sweet.
That incredibly hideous website has a download link like at the very bottom, so you can get yourself a copy of Joy Key. Yeah, if you play these indie games,
this is a pretty bare bones.
Yeah, it's pretty ugly, but it's legit. I've downloaded that on several different machines. It's reached a point now where you'll be reading a README file on how and instead of saying like, oh yeah, we're compatible with joysticks, they just say, well, just download Joy to Key and do it yourself. So I feel like some of the really fresh indie developers kind of get lazy and don't solve that problem just because it's pretty easy to do it yourself.
Luckily, games that are professionally made don't have that problem. They usually do it themselves. You have to use this.
Exactly. Spelunky doesn't require a Jordy key. You can plug and play it. K-Story doesn't require a Jordy key. You can plug and play it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all the much better for it. But it is here, and it is useful, and you should have it.
One game I really enjoyed I was playing my gamepad with was Jade Empire, an action RPG. Pretty good game. I think you can get it on Steam for fairly cheap. You're basically a kung fu master running around, leveling up and stuff. Pretty fun game.
BioWare, Xbox. I got the Wikipedia page open.
Yeah, it's on Xbox, but then they re-released it on the PC with, like, extra stuff. Like, I think that the graphics are better or something like that. They add in the extra difficulty.
I want to see this. I'm looking it up now. You know I'm a big Steam user, right?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it's not that expensive. It's $15.
So, yeah, I'd definitely say it's worth $15 because the way that the game is played, you can play it in different fighting styles, and you can also play it as a good guy or a bad guy. So, a lot of replay value.
Step into the role of an aspiring martial arts master and follow the path to an open palm or the closed fist in this multi-award-winning action RPG. Your choices and actions will determine the fate of the entire Jade Empire. Will you prevent the destruction of this beautiful mad land, or will you crush it beneath your heel? Watch as we really, really, really wish we were that game on the Dreamcast that everyone loves, Shenmue. Looks good, though, man. I'll add it to my wish list of games that I'll never buy.
It is good. I recommend it. If you can get it on either the Xbox or on the PC. Although I recommend the Xbox more than the PC if you don't have a gamepad, because it's really not meant to be played with a mouse and keyboard. All
right, well, let me see. Like I said, because I have an original Xbox. I want to see what a copy goes for on the Bay.
I'm sure it's very cheap.
Yeah, I know. That was really homo, though. I just called it the Bay, and I'm sorry. I immediately regretted that decision to use those words in that order. Okay. I'm seeing like $20, but then again, I'm thinking like, no, this can't be right.
Well, there's also a special edition, which comes with like an extra character. So make sure you're looking at the vanilla.
Yeah, here we go. Jade Empire, 53 copies used from $3.59.
Told you.
And then probably another, you know, $3 shipped. So it would end up being like $6.50 or so.
That's even better.
Yeah, $3.59 and $2.75 shipping. 3, 4, 5, 7, 6 and a quarter, about.
That's pretty sweet.
Not bad. Yeah, I don't have a whole lot of Xbox games. I just have the system because I used to have a hard drive, and then the hard drive failed. Which is why I don't use it much anymore, because I went from having a ton of games to, like, having almost no games. Yeah.
I had a bunch of games, and I went to having no games.
And the two games I do have are Halo 2 and Call of Duty Finest Hour. Two great games, but not alone.
Man, I feel bad. Because there are so many other better games on the Xbox.
Word, man. I know it's like a guilty pleasure thing, but that volleyball game, fucking A. I love that game. You know what I'm talking about? The Dead or Alive game?
I've never played that game, actually.
Fuck you, bro. That's a good game.
I've never played it before, but I secretly wanted to.
Nothing like a beach volleyball dating sim.
I just love seeing them go up and down. The ball, I mean.
Yeah, that game is pretty whacked out. But thankfully that the actual volleyball mechanics are pretty sound. We all know why someone would play that game, but it actually is like when you start playing, it's like, okay, this is a fun little game. That was one I had that I played a lot of. And I want to get Fable just to see what all the fuss was about.
I'm actually kind of funny with that game. That was a game that a lot of people were really disappointed with. But the thing is, when I played it, I didn't have an Xbox when everyone was hyping it up. So I didn't pay attention to any of the hype. So when I played the game, I played the game without any hype. I had no expectations for the game. So I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. I know going in because of all the reviews that it's not great. But I didn't have – my Xbox wasn't set up at that time. I didn't play it then, so.
I just recommend to get the Lost Chapters version because it's a more complete version than the vanilla one. It has, like, an extra – kind of like an extra quest at the end. Not really an extra quest, but, like, there's more things to do when you beat the game. Like, where the game ends in the vanilla version, there's more story at the end.
All right, I need to know how much you recommend getting that one instead, because the vanilla version is a really, really cheap get. I mean, we're talking like $5.
And how much can you get the Lost Chapters then?
Actually,
Lost Chapters is also on PC, so you might want to check how much that is on Steam.
Really?
And I actually played it with the PC controls, and it was actually pretty decent. Controls transferred pretty well for mouse and keyboard.
Okay, we're talking like $8 to $10 to get Lost Chapters. That's not too bad.
Get Lost Chapters then. That game is much better with Lost Chapters as extra content. They give you more weapons, you get more stuff to do, you get, I think there's some extra spells.
I was about to holler at you and make fun of you for saying for thinking Fable was on Steam, but as it turns out, Fable 3 actually is.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't think it was. I didn't think Fable was on Steam at all, but Fable 3 is.
I knew Lost Chapters for sure was on the PC because I played it myself, but I didn't know that Fable 3 was also on PC.
Yeah, it might just be, you know, some have to buy it somewhere else. Not all PC games are on Steam.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's see if it's on Gamerscape.
Nope. I think especially if you look like if you're trying to find like some really old PC games, you're not going to find that on Steam.
Yeah. There's certain computer games that just, for one reason or another, are not available on any of the digital distribution websites. The original Diablo is not available to purchase except through Blizzard for $20, which is just ridiculous that nobody's doing that.
That is really ridiculous.
I have no idea why the original Diablo is not, like, on GOG or, like, Steam or something. Right now, if you go on Steam and look up Diablo, the search engine comes up with Torchlight, which is a Diablo clone. A really good one, but...
not Diablo.
That's their way of... If you look up Diablo on Gamersgate, you get Pirates of the Black Cove, Greed, Black Border, Seven Kingdoms Conquest, and Dawn of Magic.
I mean, you know, just like a filet mignon isn't quite a T-bone steak. You know what I mean?
I guess...
but they're both steak.
Word. That and, like, the old Sims games. Sims is all over the digital distro. Sims 3, anyway, but the old ones aren't.
I've never played a Sims game before, actually. I never really got into, like, Sims.
I'm not big on the Sims either, but so many people are. It just seems like it would make sense to sell, like, Sims 2 or Sims 1 on, like, Steam or something.
Well, to be fair, I actually have played before back when I was younger. And I used to hang out with these girls who I used to call them my cousins, but they really weren't. But whenever I would go over to their house, they would always, always, always be playing Sims. And it was mind-numbingly boring for me. Because I'd just be, like, watching them, like, cheat. And they just, like, put in a code. I think it was, like, Rosebud or something. They just make money so they can make the game easier for them. And they just, like, do stupid shit, like, go to the bathroom and eat food and stuff. And I was just like, how is this fun? You're already living real life. Why are you living?
That's really funny. Yeah, I saw...
Wouldn't you rather do something more interesting, like fight some mythical creature or something? I mean, that's the point of a game, doing something you can't do in real life.
Yeah, Sims 2 was supposed to have a really fun batch of mods. Like, Dorabko was sending me screenshots of his Sims 2 game with like, a bunch of superheroes and stuff. And he had, like, Optimus Prime walking around in a house and stuff. That sounds kind of fun.
Yeah? Okay, that does sound pretty cool.
I mean, that at least puts, like, an interesting twist on it. Right. I just, like, get up and go to work and go back home and be sad. My Sim is depressed. Terrible as that.
Let me help my Sim be less depressed by making him masturbate furiously.
My Sim is tired of life and decides to end it all on a crime spree. Can I do that? What's the code? All right, ladies and gentlemen. While we're on the topic of digital distro and things that are wrong with it, I want to address this thing. I wrote an article a couple nights ago.
I'm just glad you didn't say on the subject of furious masturbation.
That's exactly what it was about, examining the psychology of tennis elbow caused from furious masturbation. No, it's Ultimate GOG and the Demise of Abandonware. Essentially, the long and short of it is GOG is now selling Ultima 1, 2, and 3 collectively for $6, and I think they're way overcharging. These games have been available, you know, to download freely for years and years and years, and now you can purchase them from GOG. And I talked a little bit about it. I mean, there's reasons why this is a good thing and reasons why it's a bad thing. You're going to have to read the article if you want to know the long and short of it, but I want to address some of the responses because that was actually got some good traffic. So I got two responses that I'm going to read here, and we can discuss what we think of it.
Cool.
David signed his article, David. This is from Dalimar from WastedSeconds.com. He says, in the end, I 100% agree with this article, 110% agree with this article, every word of it. But how much is Ultima 1 through 3 on store shelves right now? Am I missing something? Are you getting games I'm not getting at GameStop or Walmart? How about Amazon? How much is there brand new off the shelf? EA doesn't care how much it goes for used or from an individual on eBay or Amazon. They don't get anything from that. The only thing they care about is what they get out of it. The fact that they're agreeing to put these old games on GOG is strange enough as it is. For someone who loves the Ultima series and wants to legally own the games, as in I shelled out money for these games and got them legally when I otherwise couldn't, that's a small price to pay. And the extras that would normally come with a box copy, they're right there. Yeah, $6 a pop is way overpriced, but the fact is you can get them full and legal and in the clear with extras and no DRM, and we know how much EA fucking loves DRM. For the right audience.
And Capcom.
Yes, and Capcom. And everyone from Steam. Fucking Valve. For the right audience, this is a godsend. That's David's take on it. I see where he's coming from, and he's right. It's not necessarily a bad thing. It just doesn't sit well with me. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe I'm being... Because before they were available this way, when you would download, like, go to an Abandonware site and download Ultima 1, even though the game is 25 years old, you're still breaking the law. You know what
yeah.
I mean? But... I don't know. I still think they're two heads. Carl writes in, I agree with this article. I used to use Abandonware sites all the time, but I haven't in years. Why? I haven't been too entrenched I have been too entrenched with either freeware or titles I bought that turned out to be more awesome than I thought. As far as the price goes, yeah, $6 seems high for Ultima 1 through 3, especially when EA themselves give it away for free periodically, probably without the maps and such, and with free DRM, but still free. When you break it down, though, $6 for three great titles like the original Ultima Trilogy is not that bad. That's $2 a game for how many hours will you get out of just one of them? I don't see games dropping below 5 to 7 often, at least in a long-term way of thinking. Why? Payment processors like PayPal charge out the butt for fees to process credit card payments, and I'm sure EA is not exactly giving GOG the rights to sell these titles for nothing. I'm not sure how Apple gets away with selling stuff for 99 cents and still makes money. Probably have a sweet deal with payment processors somewhere. One that complies with GOG simply, one of the companies like GOG simply doesn't have the volume to work with or a similar percentage per sale. As far as former Abandonware that's overpriced, has anyone seen the 3DS Virtual Store or whatever it's called? $3.99 for Alleyway on the original Game Boy? Same for most of their black and white Game Boy games. This is either publisher greed or payment processors or both affecting the prices. At least with GOG games, you can take them on a new computer and your current one, if your current one dies or just decide to go on vacation without lugging the original computer around. Try that with an Xbox 360 or PS3 or Wii Virtual purchase. That's not going to happen.
Wait, did he say that an original Game Boy game was $4?
Yep, on the 3DS.
Okay, I have to call BS because on PSN, for only $2 more, you can get a PS1 game.
Dirty, dirty. That's why nobody wants a 3DS, dude. No games.
I mean...
And on top of that, on top of all that, it's not even like you can access the entire library at that price. They're taking that enormous price and also re-spoon-feeding you the games a little at a time.
I just wanted to trek back on EA for a minute, because Salomar was bad calling them, and I agree. But I think another thing about EA that needs to be understood. Actually, it's not EA, it's Activision, I think. The dude that owns Activision. I kind of get them mixed up because they're basically the same company anyways, who cares? But primarily both companies think about one thing. It's they don't care about their fans, obviously. They just care about selling and marketing the game in a way that makes money for them. Just like with XCOM. XCOM is a isometric strategy game. What are they doing? The reboot turns it into a first-person shooter. Why is this happening? Because they want to plaster on the name of XCOM. Because one, even the fans that don't like that this is happening, there will be a percentage of them that will simply buy it just because it's XCOM. And two, it's another first-person shooter. They're really good at marketing first-person shooters.
I think the people who would buy a game just because it's XCOM are very few these days, because the last game that was like that was a game, a third-person shooter that was built with the Unreal Engine, and that let a lot of people down in a big way.
Yeah, but it just shows the cowardice of the company and other companies nowadays that they have to rely on a previous IP and plaster it onto their IP that they've just recently created in order to sell their product. Instead of coming up with its own name and trying to give it its own identity, they're hanging on the coattails of former successful IPs. And it's pretty disgusting to me because it's like to me if somebody just, you know, took Final Fantasy and turned it into a military first-person shooter. It's like, why bother calling it Final Fantasy?
Call of Duty Final Fantasy Edition.
You know, Call of Fantasy.
I unlocked the perk which lets me use the Buster Sword. In Afghanistan.
But I have to tape it to my assault rifle.
My Kevlar helmet doesn't fit over my spiky emo hair.
But, yeah, I mean, that's the point I'm trying to make. Why call your game something it's not? Your game is clearly not XCOM. Stop calling it XCOM. You know?
Yeah, that whole XCOM situation is really sad.
They're just using the name in order to push a few more titles, a few more copies of the game off shelves. That's it. That's the only reason.
Have you ever played XCOM? They really need to make a new one.
I've never played it myself, though. Jarodka, I think, he was playing and he was, like, raving about it for a bit.
Yeah, it's pretty, it's a game with a very large scope. So when Darabka gets going about it, if you've never played it before, it's pretty tough to take it all in, you know what I mean? But mm-hmm. But I know you're a fan of Final Fantasy Tactics, am I right?
Mm-hmm. Love that game.
I don't want to compare it too much to Tactics, but it has a lot of the stuff that made Tactics awesome is present in this game, just in like a classic sci-fi setting. So you might actually really like it.
I'm sure I will. I mean, you know, I like strategy games.
Yeah, it's a good one. I've played it a few times recently, but it's just tough for me. It's a difficult game. I play it, and whatever it is that you have to do to play successfully, I'm not doing. Because I do a couple of missions.
You're doing it wrong?
Exactly. I have my... Your team gets out of your plane or whatever, and you go out and you kill some aliens and you're good to go. and then everything's fine. And we do that a few times, and then the aliens attack one of the cities, and that's like it's supposed to be a different kind of mission. And mm-hmm. then your plane lands, and then as soon as my team gets out of the plane, there's monsters on all sides, and I just get stomped. There's something I'm doing, some preparation step that I'm not understanding that, it's just getting me wiped out every time, and it just drives me crazy. Because it's not like, oh, I play for 5 minutes and then I die. Okay, let's try again. This is like at the end of a couple hours of gameplay.
Oh, dang.
Yeah.
Can't you, like, it's a PC game. Can't you, like, save whenever you want?
Well, yeah, I'm sure I could. You can save any time. But if I save in the middle of a mission and I haven't done the preparation, it's kind of unwinnable. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's weird. But it's weird, but at the same time, it's also good in that way because that's just the way grand strategy is. XCOM is a really good example of grand strategy at its finest. Because it's not just getting in there with your guys and blowing everybody up. It's also like when nothing's happening, when there's no danger, you have to, like, get into your base and set your scientists researching weapons to make sure you have the best stuff and stuff like that. So, good.
Sounds like there's a lot to the game.
There is. Good times. Good times indeed. If somebody had Steam, I might actually spot them a copy of it, but apparently Lament Chaos hasn't been on Steam in... What is it now? It's in the 400 days, I think, by now.
Jeez.
I got it. It tells me when I look at my friends list. It says the last time you're online.
Has it really been that long since I played Portal?
Now it just says more than 1 year ago.
Wow. Kind of sad.
But you put 31 hours in Portal, which is impressive. I put like 5 hours in my copy.
I really liked Portal. I played it a lot. I was really into it.
Yeah, I played it on a computer that couldn't handle it, so I like
my
it now.
My computer barely handled it, but it handled it enough to where it was playable.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. My computer can handle it now, but I got a bunch of other games at the same time, so I just haven't really got around to playing through it yet. Here we go. Last online, 447 days ago.
Wow.
Well, in your defense, we stayed up late one night, like messing with your registry and doing all kinds of stuff trying to get the Steam client rolling.
I remember that. Good times.
Hold on a second. I know XCOM is on Gamersgate. Let's see what it goes for. XCOM UFO Defense. That's the only one you really need to worry about. XCOM UFO Defense is a game that everybody loves, and then they made a second one, which is the same game but underwater. It's $6. That's a game that's worth $6. One of these days when I have an extra $6, I'll pick it up for you.
Sounds good, man.
All right. So why don't we take this cue before I talk about XCOM anymore to head on over to last week's entry and read off some emails. Because I don't get emails anymore. These are comments that people leave, and I'm going to call them emails because they're the best I can do. The first comment is from everybody's favorite certified criminally insane Australian, Retro Kaiser, who writes, "Winners don't use drugs." Well, thanks for that input. You remind me of a 1990s arcade machine. Yeah, Ale Cool. Well, good.
You know, for the Scott Pilgrim game, right before you play the game, it says, "Winners don't eat meat."
I see what they did there. Yeah, the whole doing the show on the Vicodin thing, it wasn't as cool as I was led to believe it would be. It just ended up being really difficult to keep thoughts in my head.
One of those redneck comedians that do stand-up, he said that he was on Vicodin and he said it was like the most awesome thing because he was like having a bomb mama mama. He was like, "Oh my God, this is so awesome."
Well, I was also doing the correct dosage of Vicodin. You know what I'm saying? I was taking one for pain the way you're supposed to, not 12 to see flying cactuses or a chair turn into 1,000 snakes.
So you hadn't drifted off into Vicodin land?
No, I hadn't. I honestly didn't really want to go there. I just thought I was faced with the decision where it was either be there or have my face hurt like somebody smashed it with a hammer. Yeah, getting it wasn't too that sucks, dude. Okay, so that's Kaiser's comment. Winners don't use drugs, and apparently he's right. And Ale Cool leaves a comment saying, "Bummer, I thought it would have been like the Mondo Drunk Cast, but all high on pills. Still a good episode." Yeah, man, that's what I thought too, but I guess it didn't work out that way. Also, it might have been different if I had some other people to kick around with. It was still just me. You know, and I'm told if you are drunk alone in a basement, that's a lot what it sounds like. Okay, so you guys both have tickets in the drawing, which is going to come up in a little bit, where I give away free copies of Cthulhu Saves the World and Chantilly's, courtesy of Gamersgate. Are you ready to draw some names, Shintai?
Sure.
Got some names here. Before I do that, I have one more. Because last week, after I recorded the show, but before I posted it, I got a comment from Michael from the forums, who does the David Hasselhoff videos.
David Hasselhoff
is kind of like his handle, and Hasselhoff is spelled like with a 3 instead of an E. He did a really good Parasite Eve video. You should check it out. You might like it.
A Parasite Eve, sweet.
Yeah, he's in the glitched out forums and a few other places.
Cool.
Scroll down here. He writes, "Great podcast. You made the night shift way more fun. It's cool to finally have this Resident Evil thing done and dusted. I have a question for you. Gaming has changed so much over the last few years. Can some games still be called video games? What I mean is, some games are bordering on interactive movies, and some games just focus so heavily on online play, it's like night and day to me. So I think they should be called anything other than just a video game, or does the term video game relate to everything game-wise? I know it's a very deep question." Well,
all right, well, this is my take on it. I'm sorry if I just jumped in.
Go for it.
To me, a video game is anything that has the possibility of failure. I'm being serious. If, think about it, what makes a game the fact that you can lose? If you're playing something and you can always win, what's the point of playing? It's the fact that you can lose. Even if it's a game like a visual novel where there's really not like anything really going on, you're not like fighting or anything like that.
Can you lose in visual novels?
Yes, you can. There are like bad endings, and there are endings where the main character can die depending on your choices. And just the simple fact that like even a personal failure, like maybe there's a visual novel where like there's no actual way of like actually losing, but if you make a let's say you wanted to be on a certain route and wanted to like get on a route for a certain character, if you make the wrong decisions, you can be on the wrong route, and that's like your own personal failure. You're like, oh, I didn't want to do that.
That reminds me of reading those Choose Your Own Adventure books. Do you remember those?
Yeah, actually, I do.
It's like to hit him with the hammer, turn to page 63. To jam the axe handle up your butthole, turn to page 69.
Awesome.
Good stuff. Well, thanks for leaving the comment, Michael. I appreciate the kind words. I know the night shifts are a pain, so hang in there, buddy. You got yourself a ticket for a free copy of Chantilly's and or Cthulhu Saves the World, Courtesy of Gamers Game. So we're going to do that in just a couple minutes. What I need to do now is I'm going to go – basically the way this is going to work is I'm going to be using this – is it random.org? Random.org is the one we do. Yeah, that's it's the same one we'd use for initiative, you know, when we play Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah, I know about those.
Everybody who has a ticket gets in the list here, and whoever's on top is going to get Chantilly's, and whoever is number two is going to get Cthulhu Saves the World. And I think that's fair because Chantilly's is a little bit more expensive than Cthulhu Saves the World. It's like $10 versus $3. So we got Michael's in there, Shintai's in there, Kaiser's in there, Dalimar's in there, even though I know he doesn't want either one of those games. Try. I'll make sure I'm not forgetting anybody. Michael, Shintai. She only get one. Dalmar and Trivers. Trivers, I forgot. No, he's in there. And then that was for this week. And the week before that counts too, right? Yeah. No, it's just this week and last week. This is the second week. Did Ale Cool? I thought Ale Cool wrote in too. Yes, Ale Cool has a ticket. Alright. So we're going to see who gets the games. Randomize.
Drum roll.
And I'm going to put the list in the chat window, and you can read it. So who got what?
All right, let me get out of Minecraft. Let me read this. Oh shit! I won. Are you for real?
That's what came up. I put random.org is the site we do. You put in people's names, and then you press randomize, shuffles them around.
Wow.
It looks like you got yourself a copy of Chantilly's, buddy. And Kaiser got himself a copy of Cthulhu Saves the World. Now, unfortunately, I think he's going to be out for a few weeks.
Yeah, he had to go. That's kind of sad.
I don't think he's... I don't think there's anything wrong with him, but I think he's just going to be gone for a while.
No, I wasn't trying to imply that anything had happened.
He's going to work on the railroad and pick cotton. He's going to rehab.
Wow. Yeah, we have to be sure to tell him that he won when he gets back.
Yeah, he'll enjoy that. I know he's a big fan of Gamerscape. I feel like I should have promoted this a little bit more, but at the same time, I'm glad I didn't, because all these people who are on this list Ale Cool, Michael Travers, and Dalmark. These are the guys who listen and write in, and the guys who I think would appreciate a free game from an awesome site like Gamersgate. Speaking of Gamersgate, this week the sale is Sims, The Sims 3. We were talking about The Sims earlier. All those games are 60% off, so that's a pretty good deal. That and Dragon Age 2 is half off, so that's another good deal. Get those this week.
Oh, Dragon Age 2. I still need to beat the first one.
I need to get the first one, because I would love to play that game now that I have a computer that can run it.
Make sure you get Ultimate Edition. You don't want vanilla, because the Ultimate Edition comes with every piece of DLC. All of it.
There's a big difference, because the vanilla, when the holidays come and the sales come, the vanilla one is going to be $5, at least for a day.
Well,
is it still worth it to hold out for the Ultimate?
Dude, like, the Ultimate comes with so many more hours of gameplay. It's not even funny.
We're talking about plausibly a $30 price difference here.
Well, considering that it comes with the expansion, which the expansion in and of itself costs pretty much its own game, then I would still say it's worth it.
Yeah. I might actually buy this. Mass Effect 2 is $8, and so is the original Mass Effect.
Oh, do it.
Because now I can actually run those, and I don't have them yet.
Yeah, I haven't played the first Mass Effect. I really want to, but the second Mass Effect, I beat that game and thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm probably going to go back and play it again because it was really fun.
Yeah, I blew all my money this week. I'm kind of broke. As a matter of fact, Civilization V dropped down to $10 this weekend. And I wanted it so bad, but just couldn't swing it.
Something kind of funny I've noticed in the game is in the first game, apparently, you can like, screw a blue chick.
Yes!
And in the second game, you can screw a girl that, like, apparently she's like a clone or something. Another girl who's bald. And another girl who you never see what her face looks like.
Hmm.
So it's like this dude never screws any normal chicks.
That is awesome. Broke.
And I think
it's, dude.
Actually, in the first game, I think the other girl you could screw was like a really rabid racist. Like, she just hated aliens. She's just like, I don't like no aliens.
Well, is she racist, or is she racist for species?
I guess racist against species, aliens, or whatever. Alienist.
The only reason why I'm making a distinction is because when you first said, "Oh, she's a big racist," I thought you were like didn't like black people or something, or like Hispanics. I'm like, wow, man, BioWare, this is really hardcore stuff.
Well,
pushing the envelope there.
Well, okay, let me rephrase that. She's a bigot. There we go.
Okay, yeah, that's a little bit more all encompassing. Well, that's cool, man. I'm really looking forward to it, mostly because in the early days of Gooch and the Douchebag, their podcast, I remember DB has always been a big Mass Effect fan, and just when the second one hit, it was like every week, like blah blah blah, Mass Effect, blah blah blah. And now I can finally, like, check it out and see what they've been talking about. Even though that was, like, a long time ago, that's just what comes to mind. So.
Douchebag?
Yeah, douchebag.
Nice.
And douchebag telling Gooch that Mass Effect owns his soul. And yes, he really told him that.
Very nice.
Good times. Classic podcasting moments. And I think... I think that's everything. I wanted to mention one last time, just because I want to say this every week until we do it. There is going to be eventually a Doom Knight 7 and we're going to be using Z-Daemon. So make sure you get yourself a copy of Z-Daemon. It's way easier to get installed and running than Skulltag was. So if you had any technical difficulties with Skulltag, this is going to be a godsend for you. You got anything else, Shintai? You been playing anything else lately?
Me personally, me and some friends are going to get together and do a review of a game called Tales of Legendia. So it's a game I've already beaten, but I went back and went through the game again so I can put like different save points so I can like easily record footage of whatever we decide to say during the actual like conversational review.
Word.
But other than that, another game I'm playing is Valkyrie Profile 2, which is actually kind of strange. It was one of the only games I've ever pre-ordered, but I never really played it. And it's not even because I don't like the game. It's actually a really good game, but for some reason I just...
Never got around to it.
Yeah, I just never got around to it until now. And playing it now, it's like really good.
It's almost like if somebody sends you an awesome anime, you just hold on to it and never play it, never watch it. It could be really awesome, but you just, for some reason, just keep putting it off.
Yeah. Actually, speaking of anime, I want to do an anime review of this movie. I completely forgot about it until just recently. And it's called Sword of the Stranger. It's like a 1.5, I think, 1.5 to either 2-hour anime movie made by Bones, the same people who made Fullmetal Alchemist.
Word.
And it's a really, really good movie. I'm going to rewatch it so I can kind of like freshen myself up on it and see if I can put out a review because it's definitely worth checking out. It's a very cool samurai movie. No fantasy stuff, and it's just a straight up samurai flick. It's very cool.
That sounds cool. I judge my anime on their own merits. An anime movie to me is a movie. It should be judged as a movie.
Agreed.
So something that like steps away from the fantastical, as it were, is a breath of fresh air for every once in a while.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the fight scenes are like still kind of ridiculous in that, you know, it's still anime, so it's like they try to make it really epic, but it's all still grounded in reality. Nothing, you know, nobody's like jumping over buildings and like shooting laser beams out of their ass or anything like that.
No, that's good. Yeah, this is like the time where like we could talk about any games we've been playing, but I mean we talked about this before we went on the air. I've been playing nothing but Modern Warfare 2, and there's nothing indie or vintage or awesome about playing.
Shame on you.
You know. So
well, we can talk about how we were playing Minecraft and we like tag team, man, that freaking building. And it was awesome. We built that building real quick.
Oh, yeah. Making a great big building. The floors can be wood paneling. I'm like, let's tag team this. Let's. Because let me tell you guys, ladies and gentlemen, Minecraft is the ultimate simulator for raping Mother Earth. So I planted a forest, and we chopped that bitch down. And now there's a hardwood floor in this great big building that we tag teamed.
Exactly. But the thing is, whenever we chop down the trees, it would drop saplings. So we could put in the ground and plant more trees.
Word.
I think the building came out pretty nice.
I think so, too. I'm immediately getting started on a second floor because I want that to be a superstructure and go up like 10 floors to the sky limit.
Sweet.
It's got to be one of those you can see from far on, which is difficult to do in this map because there's a lot of mountains.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, I'm just coming out of the mine now. What did I actually get and all that? Did I acquire any iron? No, I didn't.
Although. Yeah, this server is really generous with the coal, which I'm not complaining about one bit.
I'm telling you, it's the alpha maps. I wonder if there's any more available on, like, an older website.
Maybe. Like, you never know. I mean, it's the interwebs.
That's true. Everything in the world is available on the internet. old internets are available on the internet.
Yeah, that reminds me of something kind of interesting I found out. You know about GameStop, not GameStop, but the website GameSpot.
I know. I see their watermark on screenshots all the time.
Well, did you know that originally their website was just called videogame.com?
Really?
If you type in videogame.com in your URL, it will send you straight to GameSpot.
That's weird.
Go ahead and try it. I'm not kidding.
I'm going to try it. Hold on a second. www. Let's see if I spell this right. analbuster5.com. Okay, don't really go to analbuster5. What was it like? Videogames.com?
Just videogame.com.
Videogame.com.
I think it was either video game or video games, but I'm thinking...
Oh, it took me to a domain squatting website. Are you sure about that? Hold on, video games, maybe that's it.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah, that takes me to GameSpot.
I told you.
There you go. There you go. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is 3:13. Dude, it's the king of time right now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, look at it. Turn aside. This is once a night, the king of time pokes his head out to make sure all the children of the world are in bed. Otherwise, he will steal your soul.
Nice.
Because he's an old bastard.
He sounds like a pretty cool guy. Doesn't
afraid of anything. All right, guys. I'd like to give this episode to Dalmar because he hates it when we play chiptunes and always has to turn his radio down in the car. And we didn't play any of this episode. We didn't play anything this episode, not even intro or outro or anything. I'm just putting this raw, uncut MP3 is going to be this episode. Sponsors. Right, Tiger Claw Radio is brought to you by GamersGate.com. Good deals this week. $8 for a copy of Mass Effect 1 or 2. I didn't look at the price for Dragon Age 2, but it's half off, so good deals. That and Sims 3. Good deals this week on GamersGate.com. Also brought to you by Scenic7PR.com. If you like the letter P and the letter R, all your PR needs, or if you just like dudes named Carl, check out Scenic7PR.com for each and every one of those things. Hosting provided by Dalmar from WastedSeconds.com. Go there to waste some seconds and do some other crap.
And waste some seconds.
Word. You good, Shinsai?
I'm good.
Peace out.